instead of just taking whatever you're allocating per month and dividing by three and putting it into each one equally, you're not going to eliminate one faster. It's going to take longer to eliminate one. Then they're all still going to be compounding. So the power of eliminating one as fast as you can so it compounds less, and then on to the next one, eliminate that one so it compounds less, and so on and so forth.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everybody? You know the drill. All Fridays, we're coming at you with all things personal finance, because after all, it's not what you make, but what you keep, because what we can keep, then we can make and build the world of our dreams, thereby making this world a better place. So today, another quick solo one. I want to talk about a topic that I've seen come across Twitter, newsfeed, kind of just everywhere. And that has to do with debt. And we could go at all angles from this. We got national debt with our government, businesses taking debt. We're talking about today personal debt, specifically credit card debt. If you haven't heard, there's, as of last quarter, the Fed came out and said there is $986 million in credit card debt. That's right. $986 million in personal credit card debt in our country. And it's on pace to hit $1 trillion this year, which is just a staggering number. If you've ever seen the graphics of where they show what a million looks like, what a billion looks like, and what a trillion looks like, it's insane. $1 trillion credit card debt. And this article that I was reading goes on to say this was the first time credit card debt did not make its customary dip between the fourth and first quarters since the end of 2000 and beginning of 2001. This is what the New York Fed researchers said. That was a recession marked by the end of the dot-com bubble. And what you normally see is in the fourth quarter, end of the year, leading up through the holidays, there is a lot of money spent, right? Traveling to see family, buying gifts, everything that entails with the festivities of the holiday season. And people rack up credit card debt. But then they, over the next preceding quarter, the first quarter of the following year, they pay it down. Well, that has not happened this year. And they go on to say, Americans' credit card balances have hit a record high, rising 70% year over year, according to the New York Fed's quarterly report on household debt and credit. And that's the largest year over year jump in the 20-year history of this data set, which is wild. And then this hits even harder for me. Average credit card charges a record high 20.33%. We also see more people carrying balances and holding onto them for longer periods of time. 20.33%. That is just a staggering number. We all know the famous statement saying by Albert Einstein, and that is compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And that's true. When we're talking from an investment standpoint, this is how you can make a lot of money, how you can build a lot of wealth, compound interest. We talked about this before, about the two people, once starting investing when they were in their early 20s, went to about mid-30s and stopped, adding more funds, but kept their portfolio in the market. And then the other person started in their mid-30s and went until and put money in until they retired. And the person who started first actually had more money, even though they stopped putting in contributions. That's because of the power of compound interest. It's not timing the market, it's time in the market. Well, the same thing goes when you're paying interest on debt. It's just the reverse. Instead of you making money, you owe more money. And a 20% interest rate, that's insane. This is how people stuck in this vicious cycle and can't get out. 20% return. Imagine if you were getting a 20% return on your investment. That'd be amazing, right? And I can do that right with you right now. You can pull up an investment calculator online. Let's do it right now. And we can put in, say you had $10,000, let's say 10 years, 20.33 interest rate, no extra contributions. Let's calculate it. So end balance would be 63,000 over 10 years, just by putting 10,000 in once. Now, if we went to 20 years, we're talking about $405,000. See, that's the power. That's the power of compound interest. We went from 10 years of making 63,000 by initially putting in only 10,000, and you double that and go 20 years, and it goes to 405,000 over 5x, right? That is the power of compound interest. And now that same thing can happen to you on the other side with credit card debt or any type of debt you pay an interest rate on if you're not paying it down, where it gets very dangerous. And the article goes on to say the delinquency transition rate for credit cards and automobile loans rose 0.6 and 0.2 percentage points in the first quarter, respectively, approaching or surpassing their pre-pandemic levels. Credit card delinquencies of 90 days or more for those age 18 to 29 reached 8.3% in the first quarter, up from 5.1% a year ago. So we're not in a good place. People are racking up more debt. They're taking longer to pay it off, carrying higher balances. And that's just a vicious cycle because, again, the interest just compounds. And I want to look at another calculator. Let's say you had, in this illustration, you have $10,000 in debt. So the previous one was you had $10,000 to invest. Let's say you have $10,000 amongst three different credit cards. The average rate on all three is 20.33%. And let's say this is not exact. This probably wouldn't be. Let's just say the total minimum payment is $210. So you always want to do whatever you can to make the minimum payment so it doesn't hurt your credit is everything. Especially in this circumstance, you might think, yeah, but I'm like maxing on my credit cards. I shouldn't be using more credit cards, but we'll talk about this later, how you can actually use credit to help you out in this situation. So anyways, let's say it's about $210. So let's say you're making those minimum payments. Let's say that's all you can make. So to pay off that $10,000 with an average interest rate of 20.33%, it's going to take you 98 months. So that's 8 years and 2 months to pay back that entire credit card debt. So that's going to be total payments of $20,547.40, of which $10,547.46 is interest. So think about that. You have $10,000 in debt outstanding today. You only pay the minimum payment. By the time paid off, you'll more than double what you actually owed, $20,547 compared to the $10,000 you have outstanding today. Now let's say you can do a little better. Let's say you can do $1,500 a month. Now, if you can do $1,500 a month, you could pay off your credit cards in 8 months. So you go from 98 months to 8 months. That's a drastic difference. And you end up paying a total of $10,702.30 with total interest of $702.35. So again, that's the power of compound interest, right? It's just reverse, right? The faster you can pay it off, the less you're going to get whacked by it. But the more you grow in credit card debt, the less you can put to it every month to pay it off, worse off you're going to be. So now let's talk about solutions. We've talked about the problem here, right? This is clearly a big problem in the United States. I would hope most of my listeners, if not all, don't have this issue. But with the rate that credit card debt is growing to $1 trillion, I would say it's a good chance that there might be some listening that do have this issue. And yeah, it sucks. Don't be too hard on yourself. Things happen. As long as you take the actions to get out of it, that's what's important, right? Because this is what this show is about. It's about getting your money working for you. So you can be smarter, work harder for you. And then you can go on and focus on things that really matter. So let's talk about some solutions here. First, this is the approach that has been popularized by Dave Ramsey. Say what you will about him. And I usually don't agree a lot with what he has to say, but I do agree with this. And so the snowball avalanche method, he primarily talks about the snowball method. And the snowball method is say, so in this illustration, we have three different credit cards, right? Let's say one's $5,000, $2,000, and $3,000 in balances. He says, or the snowball method says, you attack the smallest balance first while paying the minimum payments on the others. So in this circumstance, the smallest balance is $2,000. So you attack that $2,000 while paying the other two, $5,000, $3,000, you pay their minimum payment every month. So your credit doesn't get dinged and you attack it that way. And it's a powerful way, right? Because you're working on eliminating one first. So that one can no longer compound and you move on to the next. Instead of just taking whatever you're allocating per month and dividing by three and putting it into each one equally, you're not going to eliminate one faster. It's going to take longer to eliminate one, right? And they're all still going to be compounding. So the power of eliminating one as fast as you can so it compounds less, and then on to the next one, eliminate that one so it compounds less, and so on and so forth. The avalanche method is kind of reverse. Or not necessarily reverse, but it doesn't focus on the higher or lower balance. It focuses on the higher rate. So whatever card has the higher rate, you attack that one first and pay it off first while paying the other's minimum payments. And that's called the avalanche effect. You know, neither, both work depending on, I guess, where, how different these rates are. Like if they're relatively the same, I would go with the snowball effect on this, the snowball method, because, you know, a lot of credit cards are going to range from 18 to 25%, right? Now, if you have one that's really low, like low teens, and then you have one that's 25, yeah, maybe attack that 25. I would imagine most are going to be in that 25 range. It would make sense to eliminate that, the small balance first. So you eliminate some compounding interest there. Another method is personal credit or loans that you can consolidate, right? So this is the reason why I mentioned before why it's still important to maintain good credit. Even though you're racking up credit card debt, you can't pay it off, you're only making the minimum payments, your credit is still relatively strong, right? It's still going to take somewhat of a hit because you're carrying a high balance. And I've talked about this before, that they only want you to utilize 10% of your credit outstanding. So if you have 10,000 credit, they only want you to use 1,000 at a time. So if you're pushing that up close towards that 10,000, that does hurt your credit, but not as bad as missing payments, right? Or not paying the minimum payments. So that's important. So anyways, you can then consolidate your loans, right? Go get a personal loan that maybe has a fixed rate of 6%, 8%, 10%, right? That's way better than your 20%+ interest rate on your credit card. So you go take that loan and then you pay off your credit cards and you're just paying that personal loan that has a significantly lower rate. They also have loans that are specifically designed to consolidate credit card debt. So essentially the same thing, right? Personal loan, pay off credit card debt with it, and then you pay off the personal loan. Great thing about it, it's not collateralized by any personal property. So that's great. You don't have to put your house up against it or anything like that. Another method, which is great, and I've talked about this similar in a previous episode, and I'll put that in the show notes. It's about how you can pay off your student loan debt faster. So you guys can check that one out. I talked about paying off debt faster, specifically credit card debt, but it also pertains to other debt as well. And that's episode 22. So go check that one out. Really cool strategy, but I'll just give a kind of a high level description of it right now. And that's using a zero balance transfer card. Another reason why you want to have good credit, because they'll give you, some credit cards give you these perks every so often. I've seen it where they do it once every 12 months, where they will let you take a certain amount up of your credit limit that you're not using. So hopefully you have a card where you can open another card if you have good credit, right? And then they'll give you zero balance transfer. So let's say they give you $5,000 and they'll give you 12 to 13 months, pay that off with no interest. So you have 12, 13 months, no interest, $5,000. Take that $5,000. You go whack out some of this, let's say the smallest two, the $3,000 and the $2,000 balance, you whack those out. So those aren't getting any more interest. And then you focus solely on paying that $5,000 of that zero balance transfer off in that 12 to 3 months while still paying that last balance of credit card minimum payment. So you don't get whacked there. And then once you paid off 12 months, probably be able to get another zero balance transfer. And then you go take out that $5,000 or whatever the amount is left on the last card and you go clear that out. And then the next 12 to 13 months, pay off that interest free. And at the end, you're done. This is probably my favorite strategy, but if you're going to do it, make sure you can pay it off over the 12 to 13 months. Because once that ends, go back to your APR of the interest rate on your credit card. So it'll go back up to 20%. However, that 12 to 13 months, you'll be able to have wiped out that balance on that card. So it won't be getting interest and you're just paying the $5,000 back or whatever the amount is interest free. So this is a very, very powerful, and it's one that I recommend if you can manage it, right? And that's the thing, right? You got into this position. So can you manage it? You got to be very careful and confident that you can manage that. If you're uncomfortable with it and you're not sure you can manage and you feel like maybe it'll just add on to your debt, and I would go more with the snowball or avalanche approach and then maybe the personal credit, as long as you take that credit and immediately pay it off, right? But I think if you can do it, the zero balance transfer is the best way, because you're taking some money out, not incurring interest for the first 12, 13 months, and then paying off something that is incurring interest. And then you pay that off over the next 12, 13 months, and you didn't pay any interest on it. And then you do it again and again. That's my favorite. Obviously, you got to do what's best for you. I'm not trying to give any advice if you're not comfortable with it, but I think that's one of the better ways to do it. All right, everybody, I just want to come on here and share this. I hope you're not in this situation, but if you are, this is something that's important to get out of. Something that can really rack up and really hurt your financial future. And that's something I don't want to see happen to anyone. So if it is you, get after it. Be confident. Take it down. Don't be ashamed. Only be ashamed if you don't do anything about it. So get out there and just slice that thing down. All right, buddy. As always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So in this instance, do away with the instant gratification or turn that instant gratification into every time pay this thing off, you reward yourself. Not monetary, but it's a win, right? So if you're using instant gratification to go buy something, go on a trip, go out to dinner, it's going to be harder and harder and nearly impossible to pay this off. So again, easy doesn't pay well. Instant gratification is definitely self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have it work hard for you. So we can all create the lives of our dreams and make this world a better place. All right, buddy. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.